Well, it's good to see everybody here this morning. It is good to be here, isn't it? You know, better to be on this side of the grass than the other side of the grass. It's kind of the way I always like to look at it. What I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning is faith. We're coming into a period of time that we're going to have faith. If we don't have faith, we don't have anything. And many of us are here today because we have faith in what this Word of God says right here. So if we go to chapter 11, it'd be better if I get into Hebrews instead of Romans. The lighting here is not the greatest, but it's not that bad either. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God Yahweh, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, I wasn't here when he created everything. I may look like I could have been, but I wasn't really. But because of this word right here, we know that God, Yahweh, created the heavens and the earth. So I want to share a little bit of where my faith started. And I want to go back and look at some of the patriarchs and where their faith was at and see if our faith compares to what they had. My journey in faith started with this lady right here. And I knew I was going to get emotional. The first 3 years of her life, she spent a tremendous amount of it in the hospital. You see, when I grew up, I was taught that as a man, if it was broke, you fixed it. If it didn't run, you repaired it. You didn't go find somebody else. You didn't seek help. You took care of it yourself. She was broke. I couldn't fix her. Her mom called me one day. She said, doctors don't believe she's going to make it. So I walked out of my office, through the shop, out in the yard where some trailers were parked, by myself. I wasn't a Christian at the time. I hadn't accepted Yeshua as my Savior. But I knew there was a higher power. What little bit of religion I had been given in my youth, I knew that there was a higher power. And I went out. And I asked God to heal her. She had a large liver, large spleen, curvature of the spine. And I prayed to God. I didn't even know what I was doing. But I knew I had to have help. I knew somebody had to do something. So that night I went up. Her mom never left the hospital when she was in there. And I went up for that night. Doctors come in. They said, we're going to transfer her to Children's Mercy in the morning. I said, okay. I said, how are you going to do that? My ambulance or how are you going to take her? Said, well, why don't y'all take her home tonight? And if she's still with us in the morning, you can drive her to Children's Mercy. Well, here she is. Her daughter's here with her. Her three grandchildren are here. There's four generations of us here today. God healed her God did what I could not do. But He started my faith, my journey into faith. My second encounter with faith was I had been asked to co-pastor a church, which that's a whole other story, but a lady in the congregation had a stroke and the whole right side of her body was paralyzed. She used a walker and she would shove that walker up and hop along and she came up wanting prayer. So, a gentleman, I'm not sure if it was Alan Mosley or if it was Julian Stone, but a gentleman that was with me, we went down to pray and Anita and another lady came up and was praying for her. And I reached down and I took her hand and her hand was ice cold. It had no strength, you'd turn loose of it, it just fell down. And as we was praying for that lady, I felt heat come back in that hand. And so I felt strength come in that arm, and all of a sudden she jerked that hand out of my hand, and she raised her hands in the air, and she started dancing, and she ran to the back of the church, and she ran to the front of the church. And that was my second extreme encounter with faith in God, the Creator of all things. Next, we developed a deliverance ministry. And folks, I want to tell you, if you're going to get in deliverance, you need to have faith. You need to be prayed up, because sitting in a pew with a person in front of you and their head spins 180 degrees around, their shoulders don't move, and they spit on you. A man jumps out of a 20-foot balcony and runs across the top of the pew. He's going to kill the person that's speaking. Four men grab him and can't hold him down. They're all elevated up off the ground. You better have some faith. Don't go into it not being prayed up and not having faith, knowing you're covered by the blood of Yeshua. Because I promise you, you will be hurt. I was told that a certain time, the following day, when my flight left to come back to Kansas City, that at 32,000 feet, I was going to be thrown out a window. Now, how did the demon know I was leaving the next day? How did the demon know what time my flight was? And how did he know I was going to be at 32,000 feet? You need to be prayed up. Because if you're not, you're going to get tore up. It's going to happen. So I want to look today at some of our patriarchs, at what some of them went through, and see if our faith lines up with their faith. If we have the faith that they have. So let's start out with Noah. And I tried to write all this down so I wouldn't get all confused. But we start out with Noah and we start out with Hebrews. We're going to go to Hebrews. No, we're going to go to Genesis 6:13. I'll get it right in a minute, folks. Just bear with me. So if we go to Genesis 6:13, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without. With Fitch. Now, we all know this story. Can you imagine Noah running home and saying, where's Webster Dictionary? What's an ark? Didn't have a clue. What's a flood? What's rain? Alexis, what's rain? He didn't have any of that. All he had was faith. Now, God said, Yahweh said that his Spirit will only strive with man for 120 years. Many people think it took that long for Noah to build the ark. It didn't. That's another story, but it did take 50-some years, probably. So for that period of time, people ridiculed Noah for, what's this thing you're building? You're a fool. And day after day after day, and year after year after year, he continued on with what Yahweh told him to do. Because he had faith in what he was told to do, even though he didn't know why he was doing it. And we get down towards the end of it, and Yahweh says, Noah, tell the wife and girls to run down to Price Chopper and stock it up. By the way, tell the boys to go down and get some hay and some straw and some feed. And don't forget the bird seed. He did tell them to stock it up, but it was from their garden. It was from their fields. So, what do you think Noah and his family thought when God said, come on, get aboard. Bring all these animals. And then Yahweh reached down and he shut the door and he sealed it. And you're in here with all these animals. Took some faith, folks. How does our faith compare with his faith? So if we go to Moses, let's look at Moses. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures and everything, but let's look at Moses. He's out in the desert. And there's a burning bush. And there's somebody talking in the burning bush. And he turns to look at the burning bush. And Yahweh says, take your shoes off. You're on sacred ground. He'd been walking on this ground for a long time. He didn't know it was sacred. But he heard the voice out of the burning bush. And he told him, he said, you go back to eat, you go back to release my people from Egypt. I've heard their cries. He says, now wait a minute, God. I killed a man there. And they wanted to kill me, and you want me to go back. I don't think that's wise, God. And what do I tell them when I get there? He says, well, you tell them the I Am sent you. He says, well, he says, I don't know if that's enough. What else? He said, well, lay your staff down. Lay these staff down. And it turned into a snake. Noah said, reach down and touch it. And Moses said, whoa. Now, wait a minute. Now, y'all need to understand that in that region over there, they have what they call a two-step adder. And the reason they call it a two-step adder is because when it bites you, you take two steps and you're dead. Moses knew that, and God said, reach down and touch it. So he finally obeyed God, and he reached down and he grabbed the tail of that snake, and it became a staff. Now, I can only imagine when Noah went to sleep at night, he put that staff outside. I know I would have. I would have, wouldn't you? But there's more to that. When he went to Pharaoh and he laid it down, and that staff became a snake, but it devoured all the rest of them. Now it's not one snake, it's six snakes. But Moses had faith, and he kept that staff. And he led the people out of Egypt. Nobody knows for sure, approximately a million people that he led down through a blind canyon. There was another way out that was a lot easier and a lot better, but God said no. Yahweh said, you go this way, into a blind canyon. You can imagine what the people thought. Now, we've been there. I've been there. And it is a blind canyon. There's no way out but up. You can't go up because Pharaoh's coming down. So as we heard Herb talking about the other night about the arm of God being Yeshua, being Jesus Christ, Moses stuck his arm out and parted the sea. Now, something you need to understand, coming down from the top of that mountain down, every time it rained, there was a land bridge made across there. And it was somewhere between 150 and 300 feet down. And on both sides of that land bridge, it goes down to 1,000 feet. Yahweh had that plan long before they ever went into Egypt. He built that land bridge that they could walk across, and that was dry land. So they got on the other side, and they're moaning, and they're groaning, and they're complaining. Did you bring us over here to die? There's no water. So Moses said, well, God, what are we going to do here? He said, well, here's a rock. You go speak to this rock and water coming out of this rock. Now, can you imagine the people? I can't imagine what they thought when they seen water coming out of that rock. But here they were murmuring and complaining. Did you bring us here to die? Send us back. When we was there, they told us what time to get up, what time to go to bed. They told us when we could eat and what we could eat. They told us how to make bricks out of straw. Does that sound very familiar today, folks, of what's going on now? Aren't we being told what we have to do? Aren't we being told where we can and can't go? Seems very familiar, doesn't it? But by faith, God gave them manna during the day. On the sixth day, gave them two portions of manna. They didn't have to do anything on the seventh day but rest. So we go a little further. They travel a little further, and again, they're out of water. And again, they're murmuring and complaining. By this time, Moses is getting tired of it. He's getting a little fed up. After all, he brought them out of bondage. He got them through a river. And he brought them to a land. And he fed them through Yahweh. And he gave them water. And he moved them on further to a land that they were supposed to possess. And again, they complained. We have no water. We have no water. So God cries out, Moses cries out to God again, okay, you know, what do we do now? He says, speak to the rock. Now, I've been there. I've seen that. That water come down, it's so smooth, and there's a basin at the bottom where that water come down and pooled up. We had to walk back in there, and that's where I learned about the two-step adder, was that it lives in the sagebrush. And they told us, stay away from the sagebrush. Well, when we come out, it got a little dark. We was late getting in and coming back out. Luckily, we had a good moonlit night, so we could see to stay away from the sagebrush. But anyhow, Moses was getting fed up. Moses was losing his patience. Instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock. He lost sight of his faith right there. How many times have we done that? How many times have we lost sight of our faith because of circumstances that have been set in front of us that we couldn't control, that we've tried to control but can't control? But by being prayed up and by using the Word of God, the Word of Yahweh, we know that we have control. And so many times, it's easier not to take that control. It's hard for me to stand still. It's easier to let somebody else have the control than to take the control yourself. But we have to have the faith that if we are in Yahweh's will, if we are in Yeshua's will, His will be done. It may not be what we want, but it will be done if we put our trust in Him and not in mankind. Job. Boy, there's a story for you. By today's standards, Job was a multimillionaire. All of the cattle and all of the sheep and all of the oxen. I think he had something like 7,000 camels. What you do with 7,000 camels, I don't know. But anyhow, he would have been a multimillionaire, and the man lost everything, including his family, except for his wife. Not one time is there any record that he blamed God for any of it. Because he knew that God would provide whatever he needed. He knew that God had provided all of the animals. That God had sent him the people that he needed to tend for the animals. God had provided him with a family, sons and daughters and daughters-in-law. So he knew when he lost all of that, he didn't lose anything because everything was God's. The only thing that he did do, he cursed the day that he was born. And I can only imagine he did that because of the loss of life, because of the loss of those that had been born from him. So I can only imagine that that is why he would have cursed the day he was born. You never curse God. He never lost his faith that God knew what he was doing. Do we have the faith to know that God knows what's going on in the world today? That He is in control. Now, we may not like the things that are going on. We may not understand the things that are going on right now of why God is letting certain things happen. But the things that are happening are things that we've allowed to happen. Churches were shut down. We allowed that to happen. And it's so easy to get into a habit of, okay, I can't go to church. Church is closed. 6 months later, well, I don't think I want to go to church now. I got used to staying home. I don't have to get up. I don't have to get dressed. I can just watch somebody on television. There's a lot of good motivational speakers on television, folks, but there's not much good preaching on television. So don't turn the TV on to an evangelist that's not telling you the truth. Because their faith is in the Almighty Dollar, not in the Almighty God. And that wasn't part of what I was going to say, but anyway, we needed to hear that. Let's go to Matthew, the chapter 28. And we'll pick up with verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. This is the reason we're here today, is because Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is risen. He's not in that tomb. Death could not hold him. He went and took back the keys of death and hell. Now, we weren't there. This is the only way that we know it happened. This and what God has put in our hearts and in our minds, we know it happened. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. How do you have fear and great joy at the same time? We do. There's a lot of things that will happen that will scare us, but at the same time, we know you're always with us. So we have that understanding that we have that shed blood covering from Yeshua that we see right here, where he gave that blood freely. He didn't have to, because he could have called down legions of angels that could have wiped out everybody. But no, he didn't. So we have the faith that it happened. There's so many people today, folks, that don't have any faith. They think when they die, they become worm bait, and that's the end of it. And that's sad. That's sad to think that when you're 75, 78, 79, 49, 105, I don't care, but when you take your last breath, that's it. There's nothing else. We have the faith through Yeshua, through Jesus Christ, that we have an opportunity at everlasting life, that we can walk on those streets of gold. That we will have a new body. Cancer free. Yes, I have some issues. I get up in the morning and all the noise I hear is me creaking. Bending. There's going to be a day when I get a new body and I'm not going to have that problem. None of us are. By faith, we know this is going to happen. And if you don't have faith, come see Mark, come see me, come up, see anyone in this room. And we'll be glad to share our faith with you. So let's go to, before I close here, I want to go to James. I think it's still here. Go to James, the second chapter. Verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons? You see, we see a lot of churches today that want to seat the important people on the front row and the people that aren't important on the back row. That's not the way Jesus did it. It's not the way Yeshua did it. He didn't care how you was dressed. He didn't care how much money you had. He didn't care how many gold rings you had on. The only thing he cared about was your heart. Where is your faith at? Where is your heart at? That's all he cared about. So many of the churches today, Well, the first time I went to a feast in Florida, I shared this with Frank, was with some people that had been in Worldwide. Now, I'm not putting Worldwide down. Please don't misunderstand me. But when they went with the Dawsons, and when we went up to the church, I'm standing there, and all these people are coming in a three-piece suit, carrying the satchel, and the women are all dressed. You know, I looked at John. I said, "John, I don't belong here. I don't belong here, John. I don't have a three-piece suit anymore. I don't even own a tie. I haven't worn a tie since, I can't remember when." So I'm not, I hope none of you all are offended that I'm up here not wearing a tie and not wearing a jacket. And I have no problem with those that do. It's just not for me. And I told John, I said, "I don't fit in here." And I didn't fit in. And I didn't go back. We went to some other sites. Because I felt like that the church had respect to persons, and the way that they were dressed, the way they presented themselves, and not the way their heart was. So I didn't want to go back. So we went what they call feast hopping. And we had a great time. We met a lot of wonderful people.
That was the year we met Mark Carr.
And here we are some, how many years later? Tiffany keeps the record of everything. So she's got the record there.
21 years.
So let's jump over to verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man saith he has faith and have not works, can faith save him?" Now, I don't want to mislead anyone in thinking you can work your way to heaven, because no, you cannot work your way to heaven. It's not going to happen. But by the same token, if you have the faith of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, in your heart, what did he say do? "Feed my sheep, spread the gospel throughout the world." So we have a work to do. Our job, if you will, is to go out and spread the word of Jesus Christ, of Yeshua, to everybody. There's so many people today that have accepted Jesus as their Savior, but they're scared to death to share it with anybody else. And Yeshua said, "If you deny me, I will deny you to the Father." And by not sharing your faith with somebody else is the same thing as denying it. So how does our faith stack up compared to those that we've talked about this morning? Can we withstand what they went through? Because if we can't, folks, we got a problem, because it's coming. Our faith is going to be tested. It's already been tested a little bit. Are you going to get a jab? Are you going to put your faith in a needle? Or are you going to put your faith in Yahweh? Where are you going to put your faith? By standing up and professing our faith and doing what we think is right, we're seeing the airlines now saying you don't have to be vaccinated to get on an airplane to go somewhere. You don't have to wear a mask to go into a grocery store. Mark said this morning that China is shut down. They've shut the country down and people are starving to death. They tried to do that here. Mark's going to talk a little bit about that and some of the others tomorrow night about what's coming.
And it is coming. And we're going to have faith that Yahweh is going to guide us through Yeshua and protect us through what's going to come down. Now, it may not be all that bad in my lifetime. I'm close to one of the oldest ones here. But for her lifetime and for her generation and for some of the other generations here, you're going to experience some hard times. We've actually had it pretty good, folks. We really have. We've been blessed as a nation. But now we've let that get away from us. We're no longer a blessed nation. But those of us that have Yeshua in our hearts are blessed.
Amen.
We are blessed and highly favored. We're here today because of that. Amen. I don't know how many are here. 60-some people was here the other night. How come there's not 200 or 300 or 400 or 500 people here? And there probably is throughout the other parts of the country. There are other groups that are keeping tabernacles, that are keeping Passover. One of the most precious times of the year, knowing that our Savior shed His blood for us. We weren't there, but we know it happened. So in closing, where is your faith? Where is our faith? Where is my faith? We have to reinforce our faith daily, each and every day, because when we walk out that door and we go to town to buy groceries, our faith is tested by the language we hear, by the sights we see. Our faith is tested. So I want to encourage each and every one of you to increase your faith daily by reading the Word of God, by reading the Word of Yahweh, and by sharing this faith with other people. Now, when I did become saved, when I did accept Yeshua as my Savior, and I was baptized, I wanted to go out and choke everybody with it. And that was wrong. I had to go back and apologize to some people because they weren't ready for my faith. They weren't ready for what I had. And I had to understand that, and I had to adjust myself to their position. I had to put myself in their position where they are at that time. We're all at a different place. So please, when you leave here, share your faith with other people. Don't choke them. Just share your faith. And a lot of times that sharing can be just the way you present yourself. Praying in a restaurant over a meal. A lot of people will look at you like, look at them weirdos over there. But you might be planting a seed that somewhere along the line, they'll say, gee, I remember a family in a restaurant doing that. You think I can do it too? Sure you can. You know, I could bring my granddaughter up here, great-granddaughter up here, put her on this and stand over there and tell her to jump to me, and she would have the faith I'd catch her. If I didn't catch her and I put her back up here, do you think she's going to do it the second time? She's smarter than that. But please, when you leave here, just share your faith with others. I thank you for listening to me.